Father, I thank you. I give you, Lord, the praise and glory. Thank you, your children who are gathered together, you know, from various places. You know, some had to get up early, some it's the middle of their day. Whatever it is, we've come together for fellowship. As it is written, they continue daily in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And they went, you know, they had fellowship like that every day. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for us to do the same. Now, as we re-engage in this study of the book of Romans, I declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We're looking, Lord, at the perfect law of liberty. Even on here this morning, the grace of Almighty God. Thank you, Father, in our lives. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, there's no condemnation. The scripture says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, to those, that was his conclusion of all the stuff that we went through in Romans chapter 7. We discussed that for many days. The conclusion, Paul's conclusion was, well, there is now, therefore, no condemnation. Even though you may be going through that, the struggles, as long as you're coming to Christ and failing or falling forward into his arms, as long as you are trusting in the grace of the Holy Spirit and not just succumbing to the ways of the flesh, well, the Bible says there's no condemnation. And I want us to reflect, you know, today I just want to reflect on the heart of the Father. You know, that's the part of the lesson that I want to highlight today, the heart of the Father. Praise God. And I told a story yesterday, and I want to tell another rendition of that story. We call it the story of the prodigal son, and just about everybody knows that story. But I want to talk about a rendition this morning on the heart of the Father. The other day we talked about the religious, self-righteous, older brother that would not even receive his brother back. And he felt even offended that the father would spend time, money, and resources celebrating someone who obviously has spent several months, you know, living in sin, squandering, you know, even the scripture says, you know, among, you know, harlots and stuff. And so we talked about that already. Now, from the perspective of the older brother who would have none of all that reconciliation between the father and the son, he would have none of it, you know. And that story is told beautifully in Luke chapter 15. There is an aspect of the story I want to talk to us some more today. I alluded to it briefly the other day, but it's, you know, I just want to let me retell this story again from the perspective of the heart of the Father. So, as Jesus told this story, he said, a certain man, you know, the younger one day said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Okay. So the young man wouldn't wait. Yeah, typically, you have to wait for your inheritance, for the man to die and everything. He wouldn't wait. He didn't want to wait. I want it now, he said. Well, somehow, the father complied, gave him, divided up his goods, you know, gave everything to him, and he rounded everything up and departed, you know. gathered all, we're told. He took his journey into a far country. He wanted to get away from where he would be accountable. There's so many elements in this story, ladies and gentlemen. He wanted to get far away, a far country, Jesus said, so he wouldn't be accountable, you know. And back in those days, you know, there wasn't easy means of communication like the telephone and things like that. They didn't have it, you know. So he got as far away as he could from the Father. Now, I don't think that the young man and his older brother had too much of a good relationship going on anyway all along. You know, maybe there was always this sibling rivalry or things going on there that we don't know about. I don't think they were very close, you know, because of all the things, the little things that Jesus dropped in the story, like when they get far away, you know, we don't even hear the older brother stepping in and trying to advise him and everything. So I don't think they were very close at all. You know, but there was something that was in the heart of the Father for the Son. I believe, you know, that if you use your imagination for this story, you know, I think after the Son was gone for a while, the Father began to be troubled. And he was troubled and that he didn't hear from his Son. Well, it's not easy to hear from somebody, especially when they move away to a far country. And there was a reason for it. The Son wanted to get away from anybody that would get on his case. So he got far away where he would not be accountable to anybody, he thought. You know, so he went in and spent all that he had, you know, we're told that wasted his substance, riotous living. I mean, you could just imagine that, maybe orgies and different things. I don't know what he was doing, because later on we're told that, you know, people even accused him of, you know, spending his time among harlots and different things. You know, so all of that was going on. I believe using our imagination, you can imagine the Father wanting to hear from this Son. He couldn't do it. He might have tried to send, some of his servants, but this man had a number of servants. He might have asked the older son, have you heard from your brother today? Have you heard from your brother lately? Nah, that one didn't even care. Anyway, but the man, in his heart, you know, he just kept wanting. Might have sent, you know, a search party, you know, go look for my Son. They can come back. We couldn't find it because, you know, this young man went far away. He didn't go to, you know, a neighborhood city where they could easily find him. Took a journey into a far country that he would not be found, because he knew in his heart that his Father would probably, you know, try to reach out to him and bring him back and so on. Yeah, so he made sure he put a lot of distance between them. And so week after week, perhaps month after month, we don't know how long that went, this man, the Father, always troubled about his Son, would, you know, send after him, but nobody, no news from anywhere, because he was so far away. And, from the perspective of the Father, he kept believing that his Son was coming back, was always on the lookout. And one day, you know, after this Son had wasted away all his substance, the Bible says he began to be in want. Yeah, and this is the problem, a little digression here. You know, what happens when people waste away the, you know, sudden wealth that they come into? Many people that have heard this story, you know, blamed this young man for the bad choices that he made. Like, you know, why ask for all of that inheritance, all up front and squander it? Well, I say the asking for the inheritance was, there was nothing wrong with that. You know, it was the mismanagement of the fortune. Yeah, because Jesus himself said, ask and you shall be given. So it was in the right of the young man to ask. It was up to his father to say yes or no. So asking, there was nothing wrong with it. He asked. All he did was ask. He didn't put a gun to anybody's head. But the man, well, maybe he did put a lot of pressure on the man. But anyway, the man gave him this stuff and he went and squandered it. So he got what was his. There was nothing wrong with that part. But then he had no prudence at all. I mean, he threw away caution to the wind and just, you know, just riotous living, we're told. Well, as the story went, he bottomed out. See, you know, there is no, you know, I mean, even the scripture says in Proverbs that, you know, when you just get this wealth that suddenly comes, you know, from nowhere, especially, you know, you didn't work hard enough for it, you know, as you grow wings and fly away. So after spending all that, and all the people that he was throwing his money and weight around, them and so forth, when he lost all that money, none of them came to his help. And that's the way life is. You know, if you come into sudden wealth, well, you're going to all of a sudden have many cousins and nephews and nieces and uncles and aunties and friends that you didn't have before. You know, all of a sudden you're going to have a lot of people come around you and want to be a part and experience and you know, help you spend some of that money. And if you're not prudent, wasteful like this young man, you know, you spend all, throw all your money around, after you're done, you know, nobody's coming to your rescue. You know, they're going to go on to the next person that they can leech on, just like they did to you as well. And so, when he bottomed out, he was looking for work. You know, this is a very funny and also sad, pitiful story at the same time. He had that money. He could have invested with it. He could have done something with it. He threw it around, wasted it. And then, you know, he thought maybe the money would last forever. See, there's money that's just sitting there. Nothing else coming in never lasts forever. So, you know, when he bottomed out, he started looking for work. Nobody would even give him a job. You know, maybe they didn't trust him. Maybe they'd seen him before and they just, look at what has become of him. Well, eventually he found something, a man that has a farm of pigs and different things. And they sent him there to take care of the pigs. And he was supposed to feed the pigs and so forth. They kept a watchful eye on him. Nobody gave him anything to eat. Not even part of the pig's food. I mean, he wanted so badly. If I could eat, can you imagine? Eat what pigs were eating from all that wealth that he used to have throwing around. But nobody would even so much as give him. So one day, finally, he sunk down, sad, depressed, and so forth. You know, the whole thing, just his life came crashing down on him. Realization came that he has bottomed out. But thank God in this story, and he came to his senses, the Bible says. See, and that's the thing, you know. Somehow, sometimes we find ourselves doing the wrong thing and going down the wrong path and getting deeper into, you know, the trench, you know. But if you keep going the wrong direction and you don't stop, it just gets worse. Thank God that one day this man stopped and said, well, okay, you know, where am I? How did I find myself here? And began to think about it. Then he remembered the graciousness of his father. That's right. That's where I'm going with this lesson today. The heart of his father. He remembered. My father didn't even beat up on me when I wanted to go away with all that fun. My father has so many servants that he takes care of. Gives them food. He gives them shelter. I mean, he takes care of them. I mean, they're almost like family. They're just in the house. I mean, my father does all these things. And he began to think about his father, you know, so he gathered courage. You know, he wasn't thinking about the brother at all because he and the brother never got along, I don't think. But he said, well, you know, I know my father. I know how he is. I know his heart towards all these servants that he has. You know, how that even in, you know, in his house, servants are going and coming and in and out and everything. They have plenty to eat. You know, it's almost like nobody's checking them on what they can eat. They're checking me here. I can't even eat food from the pigs. And my servants, you know, my father's house, all these things. So he's thinking of his father. I'm on summon courage, he said. I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to fall before him and ask for his forgiveness. I'm going to say to him, he said, Father, I have sinned. I will arise, he said, and go to my father. Well, you know, that was the first sane thing that came to his mind in months. Now, that's a good thing. It's part of that lesson also. Part of this lesson is also that, look, you know, when we bottom out or wherever you find yourself in any situation, you got to remember you go back to the Father. And so in his mind, so I'm going to go ask my Father for forgiveness. I'm going to tell him, you don't even need to accept me as a son anymore because I've done all these evil things. Just make me as one of your hired servants. Because he knew how the Father took care of those servants. Meanwhile, on this other side, the father every day looking out to see perhaps his son, and in his mind, you know, believing, perhaps even praying, you know, that my son, he's coming back. He never gave up on him. Did you hear from your brother today? You know, the other one just walked away. Yeah, care any part of it. And those servants that he sent, they came back. They told him, there's no news of him anywhere. But this man kept believing. So one day while he was on his watching post, where he was looking out, always looking for the man, the young man to return, never gave up. He saw something, you know, he said, my goodness, that looks like my son. And he was the first to notice this man coming because he was always there looking out. He never gave up on him. And he ran to him, we're told, the father's heart. Glory to God. And when he saw, this is my son, this is my son, fell upon his neck, hugged him, kissed him, loved on him and everything. The young man, being overwhelmed, began to plead for mercy. Father, I have sinned before heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. See, he was a son. See, he wasn't a servant. He was a son. But he thought he had lost his sonship because of all the things he did. Yeah, people feel like that sometimes. Yeah, you come into the Lord, you're a son, a daughter of the Lord Most High. You know, but somehow you find yourself wandering away. This Romans chapter 7, squandering away in sin and everything, which you shouldn't. There's no excuse for that. You know, and then devil tells you, well, or you think, you know, I can't, you know, I'm not even worthy. Well, you were never worthy. It was his grace that saved you. The grace that saved you then is still the great grace that is with you today. You know, haven't begun in the spirit. It was by grace we were saved. Are you now going to, remain? It was by grace we were also justified. Are you going to now, you know, remain in the kingdom by your own works only? No. It's still the grace of God that's holding you up. Although we are commanded to maintain good works, it's still the grace of God. So as he began to plead, Father put up his hand. I don't want to hear it. He didn't even want to hear it. Didn't want to hear it. All I know right now is you're back. My son is back. Glory to God. And he began to, you know, blow a trumpet, gather the people, call his neighbors, gather the servants, say, oh my goodness, my son is back. And all the servants are rejoicing, you know, get the fatted calf, you know, there's one calf they always prepare for occasions. They feed him, feed him, feed him. You know, the day they kill that calf, they pick another one that they begin to feed, you know, for the next occasion. That's what they call it, fatted calf. Yeah. Everybody, neighbors, servants and all were rejoicing except one person. And, the man was so overjoyed that his son came back home, the father's heart, you know, and, you know, maybe in the days to follow, the young man would tell his father some of his plight, but in the moment, in this moment, father didn't care. All he was wanted to know was my son is back. You know, and so the older brother never got along with his younger brother anyhow, you know, was in the field walking. He's always been good. I mean, always did the father's pleasure. I mean, every time father said, go walk in my field today, he'd do it. And, you know, so he comes back from the field, sees or hears all the hollering, the noise, the music, you know, and so forth. What's going on? He said, you know, I said, well, you know, one of them said, hey, your brother is back. I mean, they're so excited to tell it to him. And your father has made a big feast, killed the fatted calf, called all the neighbors, and we are celebrating because your brother is back. Well, that didn't sound too well with this older brother. He didn't care anything about that. He was so despiteful of this, even this young man. You know, why would anybody be celebrating his return after all he did? And he refused to go in the house. And so they went and told the father, I said, your older son is refusing to come in and join the celebration. So the heart of the father, you know, say, well, I understand. You know, I understand that he's, you know, feeling that way. So he goes out to meet him. Son, he says, why are you not coming in to join in the celebration? Your brother, you know, that was lost for a long time. He was dead. He's found now. I mean, he was lost. He was dead to us, basically. You know, I've been looking for him. You know, many times I asked you about him. Sent out, you know, this man, the other one, and so forth. We never heard about him. But he's back now. We ought to rejoice. Oh, that brother says, no, I'll have none of that. You know, because, you know, I mean, look at me. I'm right here all this time. I've done your bidding. I've never one time refused or gone against any of your commandments. I've always done everything that you asked me to do. But this thy son, see, immediately he disowned him already. Well, like I said, they never got along. You know, this thy son who has wasted thy substance among harlots and stuff, you begin to tell him. All kinds of accusation come up now. As soon as he was returned, look at what you've done. And you never gave me anything to celebrate with my friends. So father tried to put his arms around him. He shook that off and he would not. Well, so this is your brother. See, he's back. We have to rejoice. But then again, you know, everything that you had, that I had here was yours. His brother, your brother took his portion. The rest of it was yours. You didn't need to wait around to be asking me. It was yours for the taking. That's another lesson there, ladies and gentlemen. You know, sometimes we're there, you know, pouting away on, you know, what God hasn't given us when he has already given us freely all these things richly to enjoy. This brother, at any time, this father told him, you could have gone in because the rest of it was yours. You could have gone in there and taken. You didn't even have to ask. You could have taken because it was yours. You didn't do it. You know, so I was too busy being pious and everything. But the father try to persuade him, and he wouldn't do it. But anyway, you know, the man had to go back to rejoicing with his son that came back from the dead and that is now returned from the land of sin. And in that story, the heart of the father the whole time, you know, not even beating up on the young man when he came back. We heard stories. They all heard stories. But nobody had evidence of anything because it was so far away. And people came back with all kinds of rumors. Nobody knew if any of it was true. Some rumors probably even said the man was dead. You know, but this father, he would never give up. Always there, every day, looking up. Looking up. My son's coming today. Well, he didn't. Tomorrow he's there again. My son's coming back home today. He didn't. Week after week he was there. But one day, the son did come back. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? The heart of a father and receiving his son back from the dead. Hallelujah. Put upon him, you know, say, hey, clean him up. You know, give him the best robe. Put upon a ring in his finger and everything. Kill the cow. Let us rejoice. Make merry. For this my son is dead. He's alive. Was lost. He's now found. Hallelujah. And Jesus told his story, you know, to illustrate how God rejoices when one sinner comes back home or one wayward son returns. Remember, the young man was a son. He wasn't even a servant. And this story tells us, you know, the heart of the Father. Jesus said, angels in heaven rejoice. Glory to God. Now, there are some people on earth, though, that are not happy, you know, when, you know, a wayward believer comes back asking for help. They're not happy, judgmental and all, you know, just like this older brother. But yet the heart of the father is your brother is back. We ought to rejoice. Glory to God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we invite you, Jesus invites you. Don't stay languishing in the land of sin. Come on back home. You're struggling with anything, those of you who are here or maybe listening later on. Come on back home. How long will you stay in the land of sin? You know, whereas in your father's house there are many mansions. You know, come on back home, Jesus says. And he says to every older brother and the like, you know, when they come back home, don't be all that bitter spirit in your heart and judgmental and denouncing them. This man actually literally denounced his brother. He wouldn't even accept the fact that he was his brother. He said, this is thy son. Well, if he's it's your father's son, and that makes him your brother, nothing you can do about it. You cannot disown them. Yeah, people do try to disown one another here in the, you know, in the churches today. And you can't do it. If they are the children of your father, then they are your brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not. So learn to like it, even love it. Praise God. Because the Lord loves them. The Lord rejoices over them when they come back. Now, we talked about consequences yesterday. You know, well, this young man, he suffered a lot of shame and disgrace in the time when he had, you know, bottomed out. Could have stayed, you know, stayed in the right place. You know, but he went out into Sin City, squandered everything, and his world came crashing down. So there are consequences that we will face, but yet, you know, sometimes the father, he can't, you know, he really can't, you know, prevent all those consequences because, you know, you walked into them, you know, as the law of nature in many things, you know, action and reaction and different things will happen. But in his own situation, in his own place, the father's heart remains steadfast. My son's coming back. And when he gets back, not if, it's a when. The Father is there knowing that you are coming back, and every sinner and every backslider, God said, I'm married to the backslider. Every backslider, everyone that's wayward, are coming home. The Father says, when they come, I'm going to receive them with wide open arms. Praise the Lord. It is incumbent upon us who call ourselves children of God to take on this nature of the Father as well. This welcoming, forgiving, gracious nature of the Father. Praise the Lord. That's the heart of the Father. And we should be like him also. Blessed are the, you know, peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they themselves shall obtain mercy. Now, you know, what is mercy and grace and compassion and empathy, and, you know, have to do with all of this? Well, you know, in as much as we received that from the Lord, we also ought to extend the same to others. That's what we talked about in the Matthew 18 story, you know, that was told, that Jesus told. He called it forgiveness then, but at the end of the story, he also called it mercy and compassion. And, you know, I also call it grace, you know. Grace was given to the undeserving servant. You know, but he himself would not extend mercy and grace to a fellow servant. Very, very sad story. But in that story, we see that the grace and mercy that he had been given was rescinded. Because he himself refused, you know, to be gracious to a fellow servant. And many times when we allow our minds to look down on others, we forget that we were also sometimes darkness. We were also sometimes, you know, in the same situation. And it was just the Lord that had mercy upon us. You know, I looked up these, some facts in the dictionary, you know, about this biblical thing they called one talent, or, you know, a weight of silver or whatever. Yeah. You know, one article says that about 20 years ago, about 20 years worth of wages, a talent, you know, is what one article said. 20 years worth of wages for a laborer, called a talent. And he said by today's standards, one talent will equal about $600,000 US. You know, can you imagine that? And if that is true, I have no way of verifying it. It's just an article I looked up, you know. Another one says, you know, a unit of weight is about 75 pounds. You know, it could be gold, it could be silver. One talent of gold today, one article said, would be worth about $2 million. Now, everybody had their own conjecture of what this thing meant. I mean, but just look at the value of this thing. And if the guy owned 10,000 talents, you know, I mean, you're talking of hundreds of millions of dollars in value. But yet, or just one penny that the other guy owed him. I mean, Jesus, you know, used that illustration for a contrast. I mean, the magnitude of what God had justified us from, you know. And then when we see our brother do a little thing, it's a fraction, not even of anything close to what God forgave us of. Yeah, we become all judgmental, unforgiving, and, you know, become so mean and everything. And the master was angry when he was told that. And he called the wicked servant and said, that wicked servant, you know, I forgave you all that debt because you desired of me to do so. Shouldn't you also have had mercy and compassion upon your fellow servant, even as I had on thee? Yeah, well, deliver him, he said to the tormentors. Well, tormentors because of unforgiveness and uncompassionate heart and everything. Well, perhaps that's the reason some prayers are not answered. So let's think about it. Today, I want to encourage us that, you know, Jesus says through Paul here by the Holy Spirit that there is no condemnation to you. You come on home to me, he says. Praise the Lord. The only people that are condemned were told in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 18. The condemnation is that, you know, people, they have opportunity to come to the light, but they wouldn't. And they remain themselves in the darkness. You know, that's a condemnation. And because they rejected the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, well, then they are condemned. But, you know, if you believe, he said, he that believeth on the Christ is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And, you know, he didn't believe in the grace that God will offer. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. See, that's why people do these evil things in the night, under the cover of darkness. A lot of evil things, you know. And, you know, they don't want to come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And people hide, you know, their things and their sins. But he that cometh, if you do it the truth, they come to the light, so that their deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought of God. And Jesus encourages us today, come and receive the grace that only he can offer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to pray for everyone here today that we will experience something new in our lives. New grace every day. One scripture says in Lamentations, you know, the mercies of the Lord are renewed to us every day. So of his mercy and grace that we're not consumed. I want to say that there's grace for us every day for the things that we struggle about. Same grace still present. You know, that same river of living water still flowing. Jesus said, come, let everyone that is athirst, let him come and take of the water of life freely. It's still there. It was there, and it's still there, and will still be there. But there's coming such a time, you know, when that grace, the curtains of grace will fall. It's over. At that time, the Bible says, let him that is holy remain holy, and let him that is sinful be sinful still. It's over. But today, there is still the grace of God. Today we can come. Praise God. And when you come, come as you are. Glory to God. Now, once we receive that grace, though, the grace for justification. That's one grace. Same grace teaches us to now walk in newness of life. Yeah, that's good. That's the way Jesus always did it. Go, he would say, and sin no more. Not just go. You know, so once we are cleansed, it is incumbent on us to walk in the light. Praise God. We can't say, well, I can always come back. Sure you can. But that tells what kind of seed that person is if they think that they can always go, you know, out and do whatever they want, then come back later. Well, that would not be the nature of God. You know, so let us tremble at his word. You know, let us desire righteousness. You know, one of the reasons why, you know, the scripture talks about Christ as being promoted, you know, anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows was because he loved righteousness. So you love righteousness. You know, scepter of thy throne, the scepter of righteousness, you love righteousness. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Glory to God. You know, so, and that's the same thing for everyone that loveth righteousness. The Lord will anoint you with the oil of gladness. You know, let's not love iniquity. You know, don't even dwell in that. You know, we are encouraging people who find themselves in that state to come to the Lord and let God help you get out of it. We are not, repeat, not suggesting or encouraging people to continue in that. Scripture says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But the heart of the Father is with us every day, has always been the same. You know, that's the long suffering of God, not wishing that anyone should perish, but come on to me. Well, if at the end though, you know, when the curtain drops finally, we found ourselves still in sin, well, then, you know, we have ourselves to blame. Everybody that comes to Christ at any moment of their life, even with their last breath, either coming or returning, Jesus would have mercy upon them. But if they didn't, if we die with an unrepentant heart, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 18, well, the soul that sinneth will die. You know, if you, at what instant, you know, the Lord says, well, you know, he said, well, if a righteous man forsakes his righteousness and then die in his unrighteousness, then in his state where he was unrighteous, then that's where he would be. The unrighteous also turn around. The Lord will save it. The only people that would eventually be lost are people who, you know, at the end, they're still in sin. Yeah, and they would be lost. But no matter what, even the thief on the cross demonstrated that. He lived a life of sin, a life of evil, murderous, thieving, stealing, and all kinds of things. An extortioner, evil man, you know, whatever. He was found guilty. He himself admitted it. But at the last moment, he turned to Christ and asked for mercy. And so we see, you know, grace was extended to many people in the scriptures. And Jesus, you know, oftentimes when he would heal the sick, he never stopped to ask them first, you know, any stories. He would just heal them out of his compassion. And many times the Bible says that, you know, he looked at them as sheep having no shepherd, and out of compassion, he healed them all. He never healed anybody for a show. In fact, when they told him, show us a sign, like Moses did, all this, he wouldn't do it. But then out of compassion, he would heal them. But when he healed them, he didn't ask them questions. He just healed them. He could come back later. In one or two cases, he came back later, you know, and said, well, do you believe on the Son of Man or Son of God? And I said, well, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? Well, he that speaketh to him. Yeah, Lord, I believe. Well, he healed them first. You know, it didn't matter to Jesus what they had done. Out of compassion, he healed them first. Today, we would even say to people, well, you know, you can't be healed because you didn't confess your sins. You know, well, we're not in the place of God. You know, Jesus healed them first before he even talked about that. Just healed them. And then, yeah, and the mercy of God has healed you. Then you see your heart turn to the Lord. I remember a story, a true life story that I was somehow involved with. Someone who was a Muslim for many years and grew up in that, you know, in that way of life. They didn't believe anything about the Lord or the Lord Jesus. Somehow they came into a crusade that I was conducting in the Philippines. You know, and then stepped up for prayer. They had cancer, stage 4, you know, and they were prayed for. I don't even remember the story until I saw, you know, a note from the woman later on. And then I remembered. I prayed for her without even saying, well, you know, this and that, just pray for her. When the Lord healed her, I was told later on that she was healed instantly of that thing. You know, and that's the mercy of God. It's not, I stand here today and say everybody I ever prayed for was healed instantly. I can't say that. that would be a lie. But in some cases, they were healed instantly. In some cases, it took a while. This woman, she said she was healed. She went, she knew something happened in her. She went to the doctor. She was, you know, she found that something was changing. When she finally wrote the testimony, the long and short story of it is someone who did not know the Lord at all, was raised Muslim, and all her family were Muslim and everything. You know, and the grace of God touched her, healed her body of that cancer, which she, you know, she later said was stage four. Like spread all over her body, began to dry up, and her life was changed, and she knew she was healed. Doctors confirmed it. I don't know the details of how she knew and confirmed, but she wrote it in her testimony. You know, that love and compassion of the grace of God healing her changed her heart forever. She turned around and gave her life to Christ and said, "This God that can do this, I want to follow him." Praise God, you know, and she became a believer. Actually, she became an evangelist. Instead of go around telling her story of that thing, her family, it was all Muslim and all. Yeah, several people, over eight or so, was saved because of that one testimony. You know, they started a church in their home. They started the testimony everywhere in the village. You know, and that was because, you know, the Lord looked beyond their fault and healed her anyway. Hallelujah. So when we are faced with situations and people need help, they need healing and so forth, let's not hide behind, well, they, you know, they are not saved or they haven't confessed their sins. Pray for them anyhow. If the Lord were to heal them, they can change all of that around. The heart of the Father, you know, helps people that can't even sometimes know their left from their right. Heart of the Father helps them anyway. Praise the Lord. So that's the share that I wanted to share today. There is no condemnation when you come to Christ. The only condemnation is when we remain in the night and in the darkness, whereas the light of God is present. But we refuse that light, then that's the condemnation. But if we come to Christ, he's faithful and just, not only to forgive our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not only outright sinners who have never come to God that Christ for, you know, cleanses. He cleanses even the believer. He said the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, present continuous. You know, he cleansed us before, he'll cleanse us again. Hallelujah. All you got to do is keep coming. But here are some of the practical lessons we touched on before on how, you know, to get victory over that sin nature. Well, the scripture gives us many instructions. You know, we talked about don't put yourself in compromising situations. You know, get a hold of the word of God and think on the things that the word of God says. Philippians 4 and 8. Meditate on the word of God. How shall a young man cleanse his ways? The Bible says, by taking heed according to thy word. You know, so that's one powerful way. Well, you can't take heed to the word that you don't know. So spend time knowing the word of God and spend time, you know, in his presence, in prayer and so forth. They own, you know, these are some of the practical steps, and keep yourself accountable. If you are overtaken in a fault, well, get some accountability. You know, find a spiritual mentor that can help you and be truthful to yourself, man, and accountable. If you're accountable, you confess your fault and do your best to get away from it and stay accountable. You know, you'll get some help that way. But if we hide our sins, well, and we don't want to deal with it or confront it, well, then that issue remains. Proverbs 28 and 13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Praise the Lord. So I invite you to look over the reviews of the lessons over the past week or so, especially since we started, this book of Romans. We got into some really deep places from verses chapters 5 and 6 about sin not having dominion over us and all that. Chapter 7, we got into, even when we know and understand that sin shall not have dominion over us, what if we still struggle with certain areas? Well, the Bible says, we got to run with patience, we got to set us. So Hebrews chapter 12. Seeing therefore we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. Whatever yours is between the Holy Spirit and you, you know it. And put it aside, the Bible says, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, that's the final, that's where it ends. That's where it started and that's where it ends. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. He started, he finished it. He even, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down right on the throne of God. He himself endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And so when you consider that, don't be weary in your mind. The Bible says you have not yet resisted, right here, ye have not yet resisted unto blood when you're striving against sin. So keep on resisting. Submit yourselves first unto God. Allow the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Then resist the devil, that's number two, and he will flee from you. So we must submit, and then we must resist. Praise God. Not submit unto sin, no. Submit unto God. Praise God. And then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And with such other words, we would like to comfort anyone struggling today. Remember, he looked beyond your fault first time and brought you in. And still, you can still experience the same love and compassion from him. He's still looking beyond your fault and still bringing you in, as long as you come to him. But if we're arrogant and unrepentant in our heart, then that's a different story. We're going to have to face him with that. When he says, why didn't you let me help you with that? Why didn't you trust me with that? But as long as we're trusting and believing and casting that upon him, he will take our burdens and he will give us victory. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the heart of compassion that is in the Father. Always looking out. So the Father does not wish that any should perish, but always looking out, holding out, wanting for us to come back. And Lord, we come today as we are. Just as I am, without one plea, I just come. I come to the cleansing floor. I come to receive the water, the fountain of water of life. I come to receive washing of regeneration. Glory to God. And will you come to him today? If there's anyone in this room that's struggling with anything, will you come today? Praise God. I want to pray specifically for people that need this grace in your life. I want you to raise your hands if you're in the audience. If you're on stage as well, find a way to indicate, and I'm going to pray for you. If you say, I need this prayer. I need the grace of God. I'll put something in the chat room. I'm going to pray over everybody, everyone that so indicates today. This is the hour of grace. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of grace. If you miss this opportunity, you're going to miss something great, because God is here today. He's not condemning you today. Today may be your chance. You may have been coming to this platform or even going to church and so forth, but yet, you're not assured of that saving grace. Well, today is your day, and I'm going to pray for you. If you raise your hand today, and if you're on stage, you can't really raise your hand when you're on stage. You put something in the chat room and say, Lord, count me in into this prayer. And I'm going to pray over everybody that so indicates today. And the grace of God, remember, God never starts anything until he has first finished it. He's not only the author, but he's the finisher. And I like to call him the finisher and the author, because he finished it first before the world began. He knew you. Hallelujah. And he called you. And when he was on that cross, he was thinking about you. Oh, he knew me. Yet he loved me. When he was on that cross, he was thinking about you. The glory of God shining upon you today. I pray for everybody that's indicated, Lord, that they need grace. I pray, Lord, your grace will find them. The mercy of God will find them. And the Lord says, go and sin no more. Hallelujah. And Jesus never belabored it too much. He just said, neither do I condemn you. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, to everyone that crying out for your help and your grace today, I pray for grace into their lives. And I pray that the mercy of God will reach out, pull you out of wherever you are. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I pray that you experience the love and the grace of God in a new way today like you never did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you look upon him on the cross. Yes. He knew me. He whose glory makes the sun to shine. He loved me. And he knew me. Yet he loved me. Praise God. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that everyone that's here will experience his grace anew. Will you be able to say at the end of this room today that he knew me, he knew all my faults, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the sun to shine. In fact, he makes the sun to pale in comparison to his glory. The sun is a reflection of his glory. Hallelujah. And when he was on the cross, his mind was on you. You were on his mind also, was thinking about you. The Lord bless, the Lord comfort, restore everyone. Hallelujah. There is joy, joy in heaven for you, over you. Praise God. And the moments when you need that grace, the Lord is there. And every one of us need it from time to time. Yours may be you get angry too quickly. Yours may be you're not easy to forgive your brother or your sister. Just maybe bitterness, root of bitterness, maybe one thing or the other. Whatever it is that, is in our lives with the Lord wants us to cleanse. His grace is sufficient for you. Glory to God. Now, unto everyone that receives that grace today, I say unto you by the word of the Lord, walk in that grace and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. The Lord has set you free that you should not be bondsmen to sin anymore. Glory to God. That you should go upright and you should not be burdened down again anymore with the burdens of sin. Hallelujah. I thank God Almighty for this room today. Thank you, God, for every one of you that's here. I thank God because there is a renewal of the grace of God in your life today. Hallelujah. I am the Lord, your God, he said, in Leviticus 26 and 13, which brought you out from bondage. I should not be bondmen anymore. And I have broken the bands of your yoke that made you to go upright. The bondage of sin and all the heavy burdens of sin. The Lord said, I brought you out of it, broken it, caused you to go upright. May you receive grace of the Lord today to go upright, no longer be bent over under the burden of sin and the shame, sometimes even the you know, the guilt of sin, weighing people down. We pray, Lord, that the Lord will lift that burden even today in the name of Jesus. And yes, the Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Glory to God. And the Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit today that God, He forgives that too. Hallelujah. And not only did He forgive you when you were out in sin, He forgives you now that you have come to Christ and yet you fell back. He's right there to pick you up and He forgives you too. And let us extend the same grace one to another. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that raised their hand. And I thank you for everyone that put a note in the chat room to say, Lord, I want this grace when I need it. I pray, Lord, that this grace will never, this grace will never run out in their lives. The same grace brought them salvation will continue to guide them into the way of truth. Every one of us, myself included. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.